Greet you in the precious name of our Lord. It's a blessing to be here with you all once again this morning. To begin the message, I have here a packet of seeds. I'd like for your children to see those. If we would plant these seeds, what do you think? What kind of fruit or vegetable would we get? Apples? Beans? No? What do you think? And tomatoes. It looks that way, doesn't it? So we'd get nice, red, juicy tomatoes. I actually brought one just to show you. That's what we would get, right? Now, if I would plant these seeds then today, let's say we go home and plant them, how soon do you think we'd have a tomato like this? Maybe tomorrow, you think? No? Next week? Next month? How long do you think it would take? 2 months, 3 months? Do you know it would probably take about 6 months? We have some tomatoes growing in our greenhouse, and there's lots of green ones there. And those plants were planted about January or February. Today is the second day of July, so that's about 6 months, isn't it? Just to grow a tomato like this. The other day, I saw one of our tomatoes starting to turn a little bit pink. So that's exciting when you start to see them turn, because we'll watch them very closely, and those first ones are always the best ones, aren't they? Very special to be able to pick them from our own gardens. So it takes time. It takes a lot of time to grow even something like tomatoes. If you want to plant an apple tree, you're talking about years, not just months. Do you know that the same is true for almost everything we do? It takes time. Lots of time. If we want to build a house, it takes a lot of time to prepare and slowly, bit by bit, to build that house. Students in school, you learn it takes a lot of time, doesn't it? We had several graduates here last month or so ago, and it just takes a lot of time, year after year after year of study and work, till you finally are able to pass those last exams. So the message this morning is not about growing tomatoes or building houses or even passing school exams, but we want to talk about growing character, Christian character. Just like there are no shortcuts to growing vegetables or building houses, there are no shortcuts to Christian character and maturity. Time and patience and diligence are so important. I've entitled the message this morning, "Why Does It Take So Long?" It's a question. Why does it take so long? And then we have a subtitle, "A Call to Patient Faithfulness." A call to patient faithfulness. Turn with me, if you will, to James, the book of James, chapter 5, for our text for this message. And I should perhaps mention that I'm a little self-conscious, but I know that Brother Anthony is preaching through the book of James, so I'm not trying to take away from him, but thought, well, we'll just pick around, nibble around the edges a little bit, and we'll leave lots there for Brother Anthony when he gets to this part in James. But I'd like to read from James 5, starting in verse 7. If you would please stand as we read scripture here. James 5, verse 7. "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it, until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient." And we'll just pause there. How often did we see the word patient? It comes up over and over, doesn't it? Talking about patient faithfulness. "You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." Now I'll read that verse again. "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest..." And I underlined the word "you." You might want to do the same. "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. There's that word again. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. That's as far as we read. You may be seated. The context here in James is that these people were suffering under some heavy-handed oppressors. If we'd go to the first part of the chapter, we won't take time for that. But it seems that their masters made these believers work very hard, and then they cheated them out of their wages and didn't pay them properly. And so what's James advising these believers to do? Go out and organize a protest, a rebellion against these unjust masters that they have, employers? And no, he's not saying that, is he? What's the Christian's response to injustice and suffering? God's word makes it clear over and over again. We respond with love, with patience, with faithfulness. Now, I don't suppose there's anyone here this morning who's a slave of an unjust master, but it's very likely that we have all been in a situation where we have suffered some kind of injustice. Perhaps we've been misunderstood. You know what that feels like? We've been misjudged. Our actions have been interpreted differently from what we meant them to be. Has something like that ever happened to you? When those things happen, what does God call us to do? James makes it very clear here, doesn't he? We are to be patient, even in the face of mistreatment and being misunderstood. For how long? Well, here's the bad news, folks. Until Jesus comes back. That's how long. That's what he says. Verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Think you can hold out that long? Well, of course, we don't know how long that will be. It could be today, or it could be many years yet. We don't know. And we know that there are people, and there may be some here today or listening to this sermon other places, who have heavy burdens. And we have difficult situations that we face. And the truth is, some of those will not be corrected until the Lord comes back, until eternity is ushered in. So God's call to us, to all of us, is to humble ourselves under his hand with patient faithfulness, continuing on in the call of the Lord. Some things, yes, are not as they should be. Some people are not as mature as they should be, and they don't always treat us the way they actually should. There are personal concerns we all have, good concerns, but the call this morning is a call to patient faithfulness, not even to think of giving up in the challenges that lie before us. God's way is a way that usually takes a lot of time and patience and faithfulness. It's like growing tomatoes. You plant those seeds and finally they grow up, and slowly and slowly, and they've been growing for months and months, and still in our greenhouse they're all hard and green, except just a few are starting finally to turn a little bit. Let me tell you a story of a gardener and two seeds. Children, you might be able to understand this story. There was once a gardener who went to town to buy some seeds. On his way home, one of the seeds dropped out of his pocket and fell in the ground. And this was a courgette seed. Most of you know what courgettes are. Some people know them as zucchini or summer squash, but you know how they grow and bear fruit. Now, it so happened that, let's say that seed fell over here, and we're just going to use this pulpit as an example. And a few feet away, there was another seed that was lying there. And the place where the two seeds were lying, it was quite fertile, so they both took root. Although the one grew more quickly than the other one, after about a week, this courgette seed started showing a green sprout, and it was growing up. And you know how they grow quite fast. This other seed just looked like it was dead. It didn't show any green sprout at all. And weeks went by, and this courgette seed started growing faster and faster. And within a few weeks, it had flowers, and then another few weeks, it had courgettes. And you know how they grow so much, you can hardly even give them away sometimes, because they produce so well. So many courgettes. And finally, after about 3 months, this seed started showing a little bit of growth. A little bit. And now we'll go to years later. This courgette plant, where do you think it was? It was long gone. No sign of it. But over here, there was a lovely tall oak tree, because this seed was an acorn. It took a long time to grow, but finally it did. And it grew and stayed there for years and years and blessed many people. Which do you think it's best to be like in our life? Like a courgette plant? Grows up quickly, but just as quickly it's gone. An oak tree grows slowly, but it stays and it's rooted. Some people want to be more like the courgette. They want everything right now. They can't wait. Others would be more content to be like an oak tree. You grow slowly, but you stay and you're patiently faithful, and it takes a long time. In studying for this message, I was thinking especially of three areas in which we need to apply these principles of patience and faithfulness. So we'd like to take a look at three different areas. But before that, we do that, I'd like to just share a couple quotes as I found about patience. Patience is not just the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting. Sometimes you have no option, you have to wait, but that doesn't mean you're patient, does it? But it means waiting with a good attitude if we're patient. One aspect of patience is the humility to accept that you are no more important than anyone else, and there's no good reason why you should not need to wait. I was impressed with that, the humility to accept that you are no more important than anyone else, and there's no good reason why you or I would not need to wait. And here's a challenging one, especially for men. I found this one. It says, it's easier to find men who will volunteer to die than to find those who are willing to endure pain with patience. Do you think that's true? Maybe we should ask the ladies. We could debate that, but we'll leave that for another day. But there's something to that. Men rise to challenges that are dangerous and require a lot, but then to endure pain with patience can be a little more difficult. Well, let's turn now to the three areas where we especially need to practice patient faithfulness. The first one is in the area of the church, the body of believers. To remind ourselves the kind of church God wants us to be, turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, and we'll read a few verses here. Just to remind us the kind of church that God wants his people to be. Begin reading in verse 11, Ephesians 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. Now here's what he wants the church to be like. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's a beautiful picture of God's people, the church. And sometimes when we read these and we see what the church should be, and then we look at what it actually is, sometimes we can become discouraged because we perhaps see a gap there that we're not as close to this ideal as we'd like to be. But you know that God's word not only gives us a high standard for what the church should be, it also gives us direction how to relate to church and to people who are not quite reaching that standard. Well, it's right here in the same chapter. Look at the first verses, Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. How? With all lowliness, or that means humility and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Here we see what our attitude needs to be when we are in the church, our attitude toward one another. Sometimes we may forget who the church actually is. We hear complaints about the church, that maybe it's not what it should be. But what really is the church? It's the people, isn't it? It's you and me. That's the church. It's not the building, and it's not some abstract entity out there. So when we speak about the church, we're speaking about us, the people who make up that church. And so when we hold up a high standard for the church, do we realize we're talking about a high standard for ourselves? Not some other people, but ourselves. Are we being the example of what a church should be? Are we following the direction, like in these first several verses, to be humble and gentle? So what can we do, or what should we do, when we find ourselves in a church that is not what we feel it should be? Remember what James wrote? To be patient, like a farmer planting seeds. That's one thing, to be patient. Oak trees don't grow overnight. They take a long time. Be patient. A call to patient faithfulness. Patience means we keep on. We don't fly off the handle. We don't explode in criticism, put each other down. It means we keep on quietly, faithfully, working, praying, loving, caring. We have a vision for how things could be or should be, and we keep right on year after year, doing all we can to help the church to grow. Also means that when we find something that isn't ideal in our church, we don't just quickly jump to another church and then another one, because they may not be any better. Here's a quote I gleaned in studying for this message. Longing for the ideal while criticizing the real is evidence of immaturity. I'll come back to this, don't worry. On the other hand, settling for the real without striving for the ideal is complacency. Maturity is living with this tension. It's the tension between the real, that's what we have, and the ideal, which would be ideal, which would be the way it should be. And so there's always going to be somewhat of a gap, and that's maturity, is to live within that reality and not become upset or all discouraged because it's not the way it should be. There's a maturity that recognizes that this is the way life is. People who constantly hop from church to church looking for the ideal church usually end up scattering their family along the way and end up with much despair and disappointment. Why? Because there is no perfect church in this world. And eventually that seems to dawn on people. You see, the Bible talks about a place called paradise, and we all hope to be there someday, but remember, we're not there yet. We're not in paradise. We're here on earth. And we say people were among people with feet of clay. And we have to remember that sometimes our own feet don't smell the best either. You know, we're among others that are the same. The church is us, remember that? We are the church, not they, we. If I want to criticize the church, I need to criticize myself, first of all, not others. If we can just be honest, mature enough to confess that if there are needs, perhaps it's my fault as much as anyone. That would come a long way. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you've heard of Bonhoeffer, I suppose, in his book Life Together, suggests that disillusionment with our church is actually a good thing because it breaks down, it destroys the false expectation of perfection. So the sooner we give up the idea the church must be perfect in order to love it, sooner we start admitting we're all imperfect and need much grace, the better it is. You see, every church could put out a sign, no perfect people need apply here. This is a church only for those who truly love God, but also know they're in need of much grace and sincerely want to grow in their walk with God. Perhaps we should put out a sign like that. It's not a perfect church. We're all a work in progress, as we've often heard. Here's a quote from Bonhoeffer that really caught my attention. When we love our dream of the ideal church more than we love the actual church itself, we become a destroyer of the very thing we seek. And to be really honest, we have probably all seen some of that, where the person's ideal is so strong that we become critical of the actual church and we actually destroy the very thing we seek. And that's sad. It means our dream, our ideals are more important than the people we get to know and love and help and work with. When it happens, it causes people to start focusing so much on the faults of those around them that they become critical. They can no longer even see the positive things that they used to see because they're so focused on the negative. The focus starts to center more and more on my good ideals. I think it should be this way. Then I become more critical of those around me who I now see as much less spiritual. Far less spiritual than I am, because if they would see what I see, they would agree with me. And I don't think any of us want to be that way. Let's see, what did we read in Ephesians 4 here? Let's look at those first verses again. With all humility and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing one another, with one another in love. In fact, let's turn to Colossians. This is such an important point to consider. Colossians chapter 3, and read a few more verses. What kind of people we should be. Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Now, the ESV translates that, put on a compassionate heart. Compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, which means patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And I'm going to read that from the ESV. Verse 14, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. That's a beautiful verse. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Brothers and sisters, how does that sound to you? This passage here. I would love to be in a church full of people that live up to this standard, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be a wonderful body of believers? Well, I have wonderful news. We can be that way, can't we? If we all live according to these scriptures, we will be surrounded by people who are full of love. Just love that verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Isn't that amazing? That's what we need, and that's what we want to be. And I trust you want to be, and I want to be. Can we commit ourselves to following the direction and letting the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, work out these characteristics in our lives day by day? Well, we need to move on quickly. We won't take as much time, and we have two more to cover. The next area is our own personal lives. Our own personal lives. Sometimes we get discouraged with the slow growth in the church, and sometimes we get impatient with other people around us, but other times the discouragement comes from our own, when we sense slow growth in our own lives. Maybe there's habits we thought we had overcome, and all at once one of them pops up, and maybe it's words we speak or something we do that catches us off guard, and we thought we would not do that again. Or it could be a persistent habit that continually over and over gets us down, and we know that Satan wants to keep us in his control and his traps. He really wants us to give up the fight and just decide it's the way I am, it's the way I'll always be, no use fighting it. And that's what he wants, and then we've lost the fight if we do that. So if we find we've failed, the important thing is not to get discouraged, but to confess. Appreciate Brother Samuel's devotional this morning. That's how we gain forgiveness. We confess. We don't hide, but we share it. Maybe it's a besetting sin, and we recognize that. I need help, and we open up to a trusted brother or sister, and we share this struggle, and will you pray with me and make ourselves accountable to them? There's hope. There's a way to overcome. It can take time. You see, when we repent of our sin, we receive Jesus as our Savior. He begins his work in us, and we believe we're fully surrendered. We need to be at that time. But the truth is, God doesn't bring everything to our attention in that moment. We couldn't take it if he would. So bit by bit, we become aware of, this is something that I should not be doing, or this is something I should be doing, and I'm not doing it. And as we become aware of those, we grow. That's that bit by bit, day by day, week by week. The more we surrender to the God, the more we grow to be like Jesus. Now just explain as an example, just this morning's service. And it's like this every Sunday morning. We come together. God speaks to us through the hymns. We read here in Colossians, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Our time of singing is not entertainment. It's a time of worship and a time of teaching. Sometimes these hymns bring us to tears because they move our hearts. They're a real blessing. And then we have a Sunday school lesson where we learn more about the word. And then in a sermon, we see God's call to us. This morning, his call to us to live in patience and lowliness and gentleness and so on. Now the question is, what do we do with it? We just forget it? Do we take it to heart? Do we try to hide our sin, or do we do like Psalm 32 said, confess our sin and bring it to the Lord and to other people to help us? If we open our lives to each other, we will grow bit by bit, just like a tomato plant, and eventually there'll be some lovely fruit. Find one more area just want to touch on, and that is other people's lives. See, we have concerns about the church, and we have concerns about our own lives, but we also are dealing with other people. And they're not always perfect, as we know. It can be people in our family. It can be people right around us in the pews here, wherever we work, with people we work with. People. People are part of our life. How can we practice patience and faithfulness in these relationships? Patience means we don't give up and write them off as being hopeless. Faithfulness means we keep right on loving them, praying for them, forgiving them, being kind to them. It also means we remember how imperfect we are ourselves. You know that sometimes faults we see in other people can be sort of a reflection or a reaction to something in our own life. So we remember how imperfect we are, and that helps us be a little more patient with other people. And it's hard to improve on what we read in Ephesians 4 and again read here in Colossians chapter 3. If we practice these qualities, we can be assured there will be lovely fruit. If we put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. One final word, and we'll close. This call to patient faithfulness is especially important to parents of young children. If we think raising tomatoes takes a long time, try raising a little child. It takes more than 6 months, doesn't it? It takes a long time. Sometimes when children are young, it seems like the nurturing and the watering and the fertilizing goes on a long, long time. But take heart, mothers and fathers of young children, they will grow up. And you've heard it many times, but I'll say it again. Once they're grown, you'll look back and you'll wonder where those years went, how they could have flown by so quickly. So if you forget everything else in this morning's message, remember, please, two words, patient faithfulness. They will take us a long way, and they'll be a great blessing in your life, in the life of the church, and in the lives of those around you. Let's remember we're aiming for oak trees, not courgettes, something that endures for years and years and even into eternity. Longer than oak trees. May God help us not to become weary in well-doing. The promise is that in due season we will reap if we do not faint or give up along the way.